Thank you, John. And thank you, everyone who's participated. Good morning. It's good to see you all. And this morning, we're going to return to Hebrews, picking up where Roger's just started in chapter 4, verse 14. That's where we left off 3 weeks ago. If you've got a Bible handy, I'd encourage you to grab that. And as Roger's just read, the section begins, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest." And that's the topic we're looking at this morning, the great high priest, under the title, "Who is Jesus?" So what is a priest, you might ask? Well, a priest is somebody who represents people before God. And what then is a high priest? Well, a high priest was the most senior of the priests. There was just one high priest, and he served in the temple, which you can see, Solomon's temple here. And he was selected by the rules that were given by God to Moses. Now, Hebrews continues in chapter 5 to talk about the requirements for the high priest, the priests who served in this temple, and then continues to compare those with Jesus as a great high priest. So let's just spend a minute looking at the next four verses in chapter 5, the high priest. It says, "Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was." So here we see a picture of this high priest. He had a very special set of clothing, which is full of all kinds of symbolism, which we haven't really got time to go into this morning. But this was the high priest. And these are the requirements that we have just been reading about. First of all, that he was chosen by God. Nobody can say, "I want to be high priest this year." This was appointed by God, by the criteria that God gave his people. But also the priest, in representing the people, must be one of the people. He was to be selected from among them. He was to be human, just like everybody else. And in that, the priest was subject to the same weakness. It said in this passage that the off sacrifices were for the sins of the priest as well as for the sins of the people. So he is there to deal gently with those who are ignorant or going astray. When people make mistakes, then the high priest understands the weakness of the human condition. Fourthly, the priest was there to do this role of representing the people in matters related to God. In this case, one of those was to offer gifts and sacrifices. And the high priest had a particular role once a year on the Day of Atonement. And then they would offer a sacrifice for the people's sins. Now, having offered that sacrifice, in addition, they would do something which was to go to the most holy place in the temple and pray in that holiest place. This is just a picture here of the temple, of the main building inside the court, and you'd access from the steps here. And then this area here was where the priests would normally conduct their ceremonial duties. This was known as the holy place, shown in a very pale green colour. And then there was the curtain, shown in red here. And this curtain separated the most holy place, a very special place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And only on one day a year would the one high priest be permitted to go into that space and intercede to pray for people on the basis of the offerings made. Now, I don't think it's happening much at the moment in the supermarkets, if at all, but sometimes when you go into supermarkets normally, there's free samples, aren't there? And there's somebody there with a little stand giving out samples. I'm always tempted if it's cheese that they are offering. And that is there to give you an idea of what it's like, hoping that then you'll go and buy the full quantity of that. And these ideas of the high priest and the temple and the worship that were put in place in the Old Testament were very much there to show us what the fulfillment would be like in Jesus, the ultimate representative of the people before God, was Jesus, our great high priest. And that's exactly what the writer to the Hebrews goes on to talk about now. He goes on to contrast that with Jesus, starting then in chapter 5, verse 5, where it says, "In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.' During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek." So if we go to look at Jesus and just compare him with the high priest, he had exactly these same characteristics, but in a fuller way in many cases. First of all, we're told he was designated by God to be high priest. And this was affirmed, wasn't it, when Jesus began his ministry and the Holy Spirit came down on him as a dove. And then this voice came from heaven saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." He was affirmed by God. And yet Jesus was also fully human. We're reminded of that here, where it speaks about his cries and tears, how he suffered, how he experienced the fear of death. And yet he continued to obey everything that the Father wanted. It also said in the verses that Roger read that he was tempted in every way, though without sin. Jesus understands humanity, what it is to be tempted. And so he is able, it says in chapter 4, verse 15, he is able to sympathize with our weakness. Where it actually says we don't have a high priest who isn't able to sympathize. Jesus has experienced all of this humanity. How then does Jesus represent us before God? Well, in the way that the priest offered sacrifices, Jesus offered himself. That is surely what makes him great. It makes him the great high priest in a way that no other priest could ever do. Jesus surrendered to death on a cross for us. And as the words in chapter 5 say, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. It's so superior, isn't it, to any other form of sacrifice, how Jesus was able to do that. And it's represented then by this curtain. This curtain was torn in two, this dividing curtain in the temple, in that moment when Jesus died. The presence of God was no longer inaccessible. Jesus had gone through that curtain. And so we too can know that presence of God. He doesn't just pray in the holiest place for us. Jesus prays in heaven. You see, he didn't only die, did he? He was resurrected. And importantly, he ascended into heaven. And we're told he's seated at the right hand of God's throne, right there in the presence of God, interceding for us. I know sometimes when I've got a problem, I'm sure you had this, the same experience, you just felt you weren't getting through to the right person. If only I could have an audience with the CEO of this company, I'm sure they'd understand that my problem needs to be fixed and they'd sort it out. But I just can't get through to somebody with the right authority or insight to get this thing fixed. And in Jesus, we have a hotline straight to God's throne. Just think, Jesus is sat there at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That is the best priest imaginable. That is who God has given us in Jesus, the great high priest. What more do we need? This is termed a new and living way later on in this letter to the Hebrews. So what is the result of this? What does it mean for us that Jesus is this great high priest? Well, verse 14 of chapter 4 says, wait one second on that that verse. We'll just look at verse chapter 4. Thanks, James. Verse 14 says, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And then verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Those words that, Roger just read for us. And now, thank you, James, if you can just jump to chapter 10. Here in these verses, the writer expands this same encouragement to take hold of all these spiritual resources that are available to us in Christ and to endure through faith in Jesus, whatever we face. And I felt these were really special words of encouragement for us today. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tight without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Thank you, James. So I'd just like to conclude, just by looking at these exhortations from these few verses. There's just five things here. Let us draw near to God. And we can come in reverent prayer right into that throne room of God because of Jesus. We can have confidence that he understands where we are coming from. Isn't that great? We don't depend on going to some special building, on having to be ministered to by a priest dressed in special certain clothes, but rather Jesus is our priest. And from wherever we find ourselves in our homes at the moment, we can access the throne of God on account of our priest, Jesus Christ. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I think that speaks for itself. Let's keep hold of these truths day by day. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. There's many opportunities, aren't there, for good deeds at this time, and also to share that hope that we have and the love that Jesus has for the world, that the Father has shown us in Jesus. Let us not give up meeting together, it says, and it's great to see so many of you and be able to join with so many of you this morning in this online act of worship. And finally, let us encourage one another, it says, even more as we see the day approaching, that day when Jesus returns, that day I think that we're probably all longing for more than ever, as we see this battle raging in the world of things beyond human power, that we long for that day when Christ's kingdom is comes in all its fullness and his victory is complete. So I'd just like to encourage you in each of these things this morning, knowing that our great high priest, our representative before God, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we need a priest, somebody to represent us before you, someone to just make that way possible to come to your throne. And you've given us a priest like no other in Jesus. We thank you for that. Thank you that he is our great high priest, that curtain was torn in two, that we can come on account of Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. Thank you for the hope that we have of being in heaven with you. Thank you that you have strengthened us with that hope. And thank you for your word, which is recorded in these in this letter this morning. Help us to feed on this day by day. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we can hold on to in Jesus. Amen.